Translation. This frightful situation cannot be remedied by any person in this material world. My Lord, it is the Supreme Personality of Godhead as eternal time, Kala, that has approached us all. Purport. There is no superior power which can check the cruel hands of death. No one wants to die, however acute the source of bodily suffering may be. Even in the days of so-called scientific advancement of knowledge, there is no remedial measure either for old age or for death. Old age is the notice of arrival of death, served by cruel time, and no one can refuse to accept either summon calls of the supreme judgment of eternal time. This is explained before the Dhritarashtra, because he might ask Vidura to find out some remedial measure for the imminent fearful situation, as he had ordered many times before. Yeah, you see, but Vidura was advisor of the Dhritarashtra, always polite, always diplomatic, but now doesn't hold anything back anymore. So he tried to just stop him, even think that he can find a remedial measure for him to stay. Before ordering, however, Vidura informed Dhritarashtra that there was no remedial measure by anyone or from any source in this material world. I guess we have a realization of that. And because there is no such things in the material world, death is identical with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as it is said by the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita 10:34, which is, I'm death personified, something like that. Death cannot be checked by anyone or from any source within this material world. Hiranyakashipu wanted to be immortal and underwent a severe type of penance by which the whole universe trembled, and Brahma himself approached him to dissuade Hiranyakashipu from such severe type of penance. Hiranyakashipu asked Brahma to award him the blessings of immortality, but Brahma said that he himself was subject to death, even in the topmost planet. So how could he award him benediction of immortality? So there is death even in the topmost planet of the universe. And not to speak of other planets, which are far, far inferior in quality to Brahmaloka. There is the residing planet of Brahma. Wherever there is the influence of eternal time, there is the set of tribulations, namely birth, disease, old age, and death. Jamamritu Jaravyadi. And all of them are invisible. Now, okay, I guess Prabhupada wants us to speak about death here. I'm not sure about that. Because everybody talks about death nowadays. It's enough talks. And in matter of fact, I didn't make any notes of this verse, really. But fortunately, I have used it to write some realizations, some notes every day, some reflections. I'll use this to share a little bit something about things that I'm thinking nowadays, my meditations. And by the way, anyway, how much you can talk about that? It is very simple. You just die, that's it. Class finish. Any questions? You just die, that's it. You know. But here we see, like, just briefly what I can say by reading now. The situation of the Dhritarashtra. He's still in big illusion that something will happen which will make him still happy and mitigate his suffering for losing other sons and still be there and stay. Although he's old, like in following verses, just amazing verses, like Vidura doesn't hold back anything. Like we'll hear in the next few days. He's just, boom, full truth. So that means Dhritarashtra was ready finally to hear. He was always trying to advise him properly. But his attachment for Duryodhana, I mean, it was just extreme. which led even that Duryodhana throws him out from the palace, you know, threatening to kill him even. So, but finally now, he came just for that, to break his illusion. Go, you're like a dog, you know, you're poison. Pandavas, you did this, you did that, you know. So finally, you just go immediately, just get out of here. And then really, finally listen. Middle of the night, straight away, him and Gandhari just disappeared. So in one sense, you can compare this situation of Dhritarashtra with his illusion, whereas this situation is very kind of strange nowadays. I don't remember there was ever so kind of drastic and global, like this small thing, virus devastated the entire world, people keep in fear, entire planet. I mean, I don't remember my 53 years of age, that was something like that. Okay, it was war in Croatia, but this was not global, it was pretty nasty, but was local, I say. But this is very strange. Like, it reminded me of the plague when I was in school. We were reading and learning about plague in middle century. It was actually 3 outbreaks of plague in about 200 years span. And they said that this plague killed about 60% of all European people. It's just incredible, you know, like that or left and right. So, but this one is more global and. Funny enough that they said it was spread by rats. Same nowadays they say that this virus was spread by bats, which is kind of rodent also, which flies. In Croatia, they call bat blind mouse. That's when you translate. It's kind of like a mouse nest. You know, so if it's true, whatever, true or not, doesn't matter. Nothing with us. It's interesting, this. And funny enough that the last outbreak of plague also came from China, which was in 19th century. And more funny enough, the still effective medicine for plague is not found. There are different things they use. But still about a few thousand people die a year from plague, mostly from the countries which are poor and hygienic very low and lots of rodents and pests. Anyway. There's something else. I don't want to make class more black than it is. But it's not so bad anyway. So, let's see now. Anyway, since I was writing notes on scan of reflections, there's not much to do with the verse itself. It's a great time for us for self-reflection, actually. How much we actually rely on Krishna. You see? And I was hoping that somebody will share some thoughts from all congregation, his meditation. I invite everybody to share on our forum. I'm sure it's time for meditation, self-reflections. I mean, this day I'm really trying to study very deeply and reflect where I'm at. In terms of Krishna consciousness, and indeed, there's so many insights, how many anarthas is in us, how many wrong shelters are in us, you see. Like, for example, like, we have, you know, Krishna consciousness, normal days, everything is fine, so there's a Krishna consciousness. The other things in our life, together, help us go on. If you have a problem with Krishna consciousness, then there are other things to fill the gaps. We don't think much. But when this is stripped away, slowly, away, and less and less things are there to take shelter of. Or in other words, when you are forced to take shelter of Krishna, how much we are Krishna conscious. So that's, you know, for us, it's time to kind of reflect on ourselves. Since preaching is stagnated now, like they say in 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, they said, in rainy season, clouds pour in abundant rain, even on the water, so much. But in summer season, they don't. It's very dry. The same way, sages, sometimes they speak to everybody, and sometimes they're silent. So this is time for silence and meditations. it's not that I'm trying to teach somebody, but just sharing my meditations, that's all, because, you know, actually I'm just filling the gap here and I'm taking burden of qualified speakers, so you cannot expect much from me anyway. Please bear with me. So this can go on, we never know when we'll end up, you see, like, you know, what if somebody takes off your life sustenance, your security, your freedom, your health, even your life? You know, for the devotee, such a great fortune. They may be temporarily bewildered and kind of be taken off, as we see in early beginning of this nasty disease. There was real disturbance even among devotees. Some of them couldn't even chant, you know. But for devotees, always, you know, need just a little while and then they adjust to the situation. I'm sure everybody's now pretty okay. Focus on Krishna, focus on things related to Krishna. Because this is finally our own shelter. Like, you know, we don't have our shelter, but we have a shelter. Even kind of devotees who are not standing well, kind of struggling in normal days, still Krishna is in their life, you know, still, you know. When they have bad dreams, they will call for Krishna for help. See, so, you know, so it's there, they're not aware. So for devotees, it's a great fortune that they have shelter. If you have no shelter, where are you? Of course, I will take shelter of this body. I will take shelter of, try to survive, try to take care of family, you know. Like we see this few videos of, in shops, people merely fighting, you know, they're taking everything. They don't care for others much. So this kind of like a, almost on purpose, you know. Unity is broken, you know, only me. As I said, yeah, rule, how is it? Divide and rule, like you can apply that, you know, like, that's it. Because there's no other shelter, this body, nothing else. So Krishna sometimes, as I mentioned, he takes away our shelters one by one. Sometimes he's very drastic and rapid because it's necessary. But slowly, like these days, you know, he takes everything out. So as the other day Buddha Bhavan said in class, when it's trouble and you are kicked, what you take shelter of, that's where you are in Krishna consciousness or in life in general, where your consciousness is. And everything is taken. Where you go for shelter? That's it. Like Krishna sometimes kicks out like all our shelters. Like there are many stories how when Krishna fights, for example, with Rukmi. This was a funny story. I like this narration. It's like the speaker imitates the voice of Rukmi. Like, come on, you Krishna. Something. Stop and fight. You are like a thief or like a crow. Stealing sacrificial butter from the sacrifice. You stole my sister Rukmini. You know, I'm gonna kill you. He was chasing after Krishna with some weapon. Krishna would just smash to pieces, and then, you know, one bow Krishna would just smash with, you know, pulverize. Another bow, club. Krishna would just smash everything, all weapon, everything. In the end, he was running towards him with his sword. Krishna just smash. Polarizes sword, so there's nothing left. So Krishna sometimes act like this, just takes shelters of, you know, our, you know, very take shelter. So, you know, if you take shelter of sadhana, deeper chanting, deeper reading, you really try to connect with Krishna, that's very, very good. Now, by technology, you can always contact other devotees. But unfortunately, if you go the other way, feel insecure, spend your time on news, reading what somebody has to say, all these theories, especially when you go into a field of conspiracies, your gap will just grow in your body, in your mind. You know, you'll never be satisfied. It's such a waste of time. You know, it doesn't matter if it's some government, there's some plan for something, or you know exactly what's happened. Or, there's always a shade of doubt. You never know what's happening, why. It's a waste of time. This is the worst thing, you know. Wasting time on this. And you'll be disheartened. And then what next? You'll try to take shelter of some something else again. Somebody may take shell of, I don't know, entertainment, food, there's another one. Whatever is, you know, something else, which is just make you depressed more. So I hope devotees, they are smart. As I said, they need just a little while to adjust the situation. Another point that it may shaken our faith in Krishna is that Krishna kind of usually comes at the last point only. You see, we may struggle, and on the way we may lose the faith. See, because, you know, our level of surrender didn't reach the peak yet, like Rukmi, what is Draupadi, a few other stories. It's very interesting how Krishna kind of wants you to choose him only, nothing else. So now we still have shelters, but time may come, you lose everything. And then it's a Krishna left only. You know? So it's good meditation. It's not that will happen, but it's good meditation. Like, put yourself in this situation. Like, let's say it's nothing. Like, meditate on Sharanagati, meditate on full surrender, how it feels, see. At least sometime, meditate on that option. Have this in the mind. Like, what means that? And you see how it feels, see. It's a good time for this. So, when you start to feel like this, like, you know, that there's some sweetness in this full surrender, then you're progressing. There's some advancement, see. And Krishna will move towards you sooner than normally, see. But if you feel like uncomfortable with this feeling, many devotees just dismiss. They don't want to even think of this. But we must, on the end of the day, we have to come to this, at least in our heads, to meditate on that full surrender. What does it mean? Because time will force us. Or as a devotee, what our hope is, what shelter, what else is in this world for us? It's nothing, you know. So even if it's uncomfortable, just go on. And this will make you happy, actually, this feeling. Yes, you know, you say yes, yeah. You know, you'll story dismantle all these plans and unrelated to Krishna and have this in the mind of surrender. You'll make big progress if you do this. And then ask yourself, what is that? This is actually a great time for meditation, really. You know, I'm kind of like a tyagi, I would just spend all day just reflecting and meditating. You know, what is that which stops me to surrender? What is that? Be honest with yourself. Anyway. Like, what attachment holding me back? What's that? Like, I have to come to that, but wow, I'm messing up. Why? Like, creeping attachments, nasty. Even attachments, if they are nasty, you may kind of be embarrassed to look upon them and allow Krishna to see them. But Krishna sees them. Even before you show him, there's no point. Nobody else sees, don't worry. Only Krishna sees your attachment. Even if they're nasty, you know, it doesn't matter. Because Krishna always knows you're pure spirit soul. And this else is your mind, covering of your anartas. It's not you. Krishna sees you there. And this attachment, whatever, dirt, just give it to Krishna. You know, don't be embarrassed. Just give my prayer. Oh, Krishna, please forgive me. You know, this how my mind works. Look at this mind, what he's thinking of, what he's doing. You know, what can I do I can't control? Something like that, you know. It's no problem. So just scan this attachment very, very carefully. What is that? And try to tactfully come to the plan how to tackle, how to deal with them, you know, how to, you know. Because this will hold you back for years. Like Vidura gave a full blast, for example, you know, full detachment. So you have to kind of, in our mind, you have to come to that, yes, you know, hammer it on. So we get attached because we don't get full picture yet. We see just small fragments, you know, fragments. And we say, oh yes, this is what I want. This will make me happy. This will kind of relieve my pain and gaps and depression. Because we don't have a full picture. So when you meditate on your attachments, things which hold you back, just have a full picture. Full picture. What this attachment will give me from beginning to the end. Usually, you know, the result is miserable. You know, what will give full picture? What will give me on the end? So why am I endeavoring so much to hold on? You know, so that's a meditation. That's a kind of beginning of remedy. Think of it. Have a full picture. Don't have a partial and be totally in the mind platform. You know, yes, I want it and I want it now, or whatever it is. Have a full picture and then see. And then things you attach to, see what will happen in a few years. Just have all picture, all story in your head. What will happen there? And this will make you detached. See all this naked form of Maya, they said, like what is actually behind the surface. Point is, like, all these are in the mind, all these attachments. So far, we don't start to see our mind and the separate as a separate person, not we. There's no question of beginning to control the mind. That's the thing. We are so blended with the mind. And he said, I think it's the 11th canto verse, very interesting verse, that he said, when we lose the intelligence, then mind automatically, originally, mind is a mood of goodness. That means mind is aware of our spiritual nature, is aware that we are servant of Krishna, is aware of Krishna also. He knows that, because in spiritual world we also have a mind, we have intelligence as well. But when you lose intelligence, they said, mind immediately falls under mood of passion. And immediately what happened, that spirit soul identifies with the mind, it just fuses together. And all things which mind wants, I think I want. All things which mind thinks or rejects or accepts, it's just the mind, not us. So far we don't start to see separate entity, us and mind. There's no question of controlling. And then why is the fear of death? I'll go back to the verse. Like, this is interesting. Why there is fear of death? It's a fear of suffering or is interesting because there's this thing called untimed death. But the same death personifies Krishna. And it will come. Everybody knows that. Everybody accepts that death will come. But when the day it comes, they rebelling against untimed death. It's a kind of interesting phenomenon. You know, it's like sankalpa vikalpa, accepting one thing and later rejecting the same thing, something like that. But there's a verse, interesting, which contradicts just my statement now. It said, I don't know which canto, it's 10th canto. In 10th canto, when Vasudeva started to pacify the Kamsa, and he said, as long as he has intelligence and bodily strength, an intelligent person must try to avoid death. That is, so far we have intelligence and bodily strength, we try to avoid the death. This is a duty of every embodied person. But if death cannot be avoided in spite of one's endeavors, person takes in death, commits no offense. It means only if you really cannot protect yourself, there is no offense. But it's offense if you don't try to protect yourself. Interesting. I can read the purport. It's kind of give a little bit more in there. It is natural for a person facing untimely death to try his best to save himself. This is one's duty. Although death is sure, everyone should try to avoid it and not meet death without opposition. because every living soul is by nature eternal. Because death is punished, death is a punishment imposed in the condemned life of material existence. The Vedic culture is based on avoiding death. Tyaktvadeham punarjanma. Everyone should try to avoid death and rebirth by cultivating spiritual life, and should not submit to death without struggling to survive. One who is not trying to stop death is not an intelligent human being, because Devaki was face to face with imminent death. It was Vasudeva's duty to save her, and he was trying his best to do so. So Prabhupada gives two things here. To avoid death means to surrender fully to Krishna, to spiritual life, and then there is no rebirth again. And they are also speaking about to protect physical body, both of them. That's interesting. And at least nobody can take Krishna from you, whatever happens. Like, we have to be ready to accept that fact. You know, everything else can be taken. We don't know what's going to happen, you know. In the coming years, like this, within a week or two, entire face of the globe changed. You may become so many things, you know. Don't be complacent like Dhritarashtra, that everything is fine, yeah. So I don't know, I mean, my kind of notes are run out, and I'm sorry to everybody for boring class, but it was not real time to prepare properly. I can raise like a question. When you speak about untimed death, this is always which I was meditating on. Does really exist such a thing as an untimed death? Yeah, like, can really, if it's not your karma, can really somebody interfere and kill you? Very interesting, like, how is that happens? Like, untimed death. Can you really do that? Yeah, Maharaj, please.
Well, one example from scriptures is suicide, because one is meant to live in the body for a certain number of years, but then if one takes one's own life, it's called untimely death, and that's why karmic punishment for that is that one remains suffering in the body of a ghost for as many years as the gross body was supposed to live. So that's one example of untimely death.
Yeah, that's interesting, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Depends on your decision. That's a small free will plays the role. You can use or misuse. It's interesting. Yeah, please. Anyone who has something to say?
Maybe I can just expand on that also. So what about, say, for example, those individuals, say they have got a virus or something, but they choose not to take the medication or not to protect themselves through the medication that's available. Is that untimely death? I don't know.
That's interesting. Like I know some devotees, at least one, who refused. He had a cancer or something and then didn't follow the advices. He was just fasting and he died. I don't know. There's no cure for cancer anyway. He's going to kill you eventually. But, I don't know. That's interesting. Yeah.
I was thinking untimely death is also maybe more general as well, in the sense that every living entity is supposed to have a certain amount of time in this world.
Yeah.
But when they do activities which are like vikarmic or like sinful or whatever it may be, then they basically die before their allotted time. Therefore, like a leader, if someone would die untimely, like before their time, in a state, then the leader would take it as his responsibility that, oh my God, I've done something wrong, because he should be guiding the citizens to follow Shastra and live properly so that you don't get any karmic reaction which causes you to die before your time. So I think untimely death also just means when someone gets such a karmic reaction that they die before their allotted time, that everyone should live. Everyone should live the amount of years that 100 they have.
100 years, yeah. In the Kali Yuga.
Yeah, ideally, but because we don't follow them.
Yeah.
So is it just based on, like you were saying, it's based on our free will, because no external thing, it's always our decision whether we take the medicine or...
Yeah.
No external thing can cause an untimely death. No external
action. No, interesting. But anyway, just sum up all this topic. If you want to really die, fasting is bona fide way to commit suicide. And jump in the Ganga. But don't forget to chant Hare Krishna during the process. That's how usually, by sitting and fasting, you know, there's no sin incurred. But of course, you will sit and fast, there is no other remedy. Like, that's it, you know. Yeah.
Based on that question, there was a saying, I think Radhanath Maharaj had said it in one class, and Stapa Prabhu had also repeated it in another way. He said that if someone does something to us, we should always take it as them facilitating our karma. So externally, things that people do from an external perspective is because they're facilitating what we deserve to get. I don't think they would make it untimely, but probably with what Prabhu said about what we do ourselves is what can probably speed up that process and make it untimely when it should have been a different time.
When you enter into the field of karma, then I have also similar meditation like you. They are just instruments, and they get reactions, and they give me my reactions, and cycle goes on perpetually. I may retaliate, therefore they said, knowledge slashes the roots of karma. If you have knowledge and realize what are consequences of your action, then you may refrain to do, and that's it. Before getting that knowledge, you will just retaliate, and then somebody else will kill you, and you will kill him, and goes eternally. This kind of comment on him, but no question.
You talked in your thank you, Paul, for your class. You talked about taking shelter, and then obviously here we're also talking about taking practical measures. So we know birth, disease, old age, death, inevitable, but we take measures to try and contain them somewhat. So I'm just wondering, how do we take practical measures and at the same time take shelter of Krishna? Because sometimes it seems like they're clashing.
Yeah.
Say, for example, a devotee goes, a relative goes to hospital, or another devotee goes to hospital. Then we're taking all the practical measures, we're making sure the best doctors, you know, everything. And so what's the consciousness of a devotee? Is it that you just do it, but you don't have faith in any of those things? Like, you just have faith in Krishna? How do you take practical measures and take full shelter of Krishna at the same time?
Point is that if you don't do anything, then you kind of, you are neglectful, you know. You don't even show that you care if you just rely on Krishna in that sense. Like, save your relatives over there, you know. It's pretty impersonal, you know. But in your field, in the scope of ability, you do whatever is best you can do, you know. I remember when my mother was sick before she passed away. She has had some, you know, serious disease. She got a brain tumor and thrombosis, was amputated legs. I got a few things, you know. You know, I know it's kind of, you know, not that I have faith in that, but, you know, at least show some, try this, try that, you know. Otherwise, you know, if you can help, try to help. But this here, I'll say, you know, If that cannot be avoided in spite of one's endeavors, person facing death commits no offense. So it means endeavors are there. You try. You know, so it's interesting.
So we endeavor, but then I guess the question is, yeah, like, what's the internal mood when we endeavor? Is it that we're endeavoring, but actually I have no faith in any of this?
I mean, you can see as a Krishna guiding you, intelligence, try this, try that, maybe. There's one option, or you know.
I don't know.
If I mean, we are sentimental, we are not yet transcendent, so kind of it bothers us, you know, okay, try this, try that. I don't know. I would like that somebody else speaks, you know. For me, like, all these abstract things, you know. After I bang my head, my brain doesn't calculate too many things at once. You know?
There was a time we were discussing something about this, so like where we draw the line between endeavor and actually relying on Krishna, and the conclusion we kind of came to, I don't know if it's the most accurate, but was that we should, because our nature is to be in a position where we're able to engage in devotional service. So even if we're endeavoring to like feel the body, it's to put us in a circumstance where we can still continue with our dharma, which is devotional service. So if we have to go to hospital, we're doing all those measures because we know by doing this, we'll be able to keep on with Sankirtan Yagya. But if we know that, okay, by over-endeavoring, nothing's going to happen, then we just keep on with doing our devotional service as much as we can because we're still doing our constitutional duty, which is serving the Lord. So that's why some people will stop doing the medication because they know all the medication is doing is that it's making them physically incapable of even rendering any service. Mm-hmm. So what they'll do is that they'll withdraw back and probably record more lectures and do more reading and more chanting because that's them doing Sankirtan Yagya. So it's with us, you know, trying to maintain the body, it's not exclusive to our faith of Krishna, I think. But it's because our faith of Krishna is making us do that so we can serve him. I think, that's how I end up. Sorry.
Yeah, as long as we do our best, we can be sure that Krishna will do the rest. And so effort should always be there. We can see even in Damodar Leela first, Yashoda was struggling very hard before she got Krishna's mercy. And the understanding is Yamam Pashyati Saratras Ram Chamay Pashyati, that's Bhagavad Gita 6:30, that to see everything in Krishna and Krishna in everything. And so in neophyte condition, we separate Krishna from everything. We don't see Krishna in doctor, we don't see Krishna in medicine, we don't see Krishna in other people, we don't see Krishna in situation. But mature understanding is that, yes, everything is connected to Krishna, and here Krishna is giving me the opportunity to do something for him, and so if I don't take it, that's my foolishness.
There's one more here.
It's a really nice meditation by Maharaj, just that we need to see Krishna and everything. So in terms of all of, obviously, the calamities we do get, this is also Krishna in the sense of this virus, this issues that we're facing at the moment. So in that case, what things Sutapra was said in his video is how do we actually turn that into opportunities and then see the opportunities that this time frame is giving us in order to then move ahead in our Krishna consciousness, go deeper in our sadhana, and even engage more devotees in going deeper in their sadhana. And that way we can actually enhance our own spirituality, our own Krishna consciousness.
There's one behind them.
Actually, I know I'd wanted to share this at the start based on the class that you had, based on the class in regards to shelter. And because as a reflection, I was doing some research to see what, because we're trying to use like the online platforms to share knowledge to other people. And we're trying to see that, you know, how can you present this knowledge from a place where they're at? Because the kind of questions they're asking and the kind of questions we're asking is somewhat different. And it just made me think that actually by us sticking to Krishna consciousness, a huge plethora of anxieties are naturally diminished. So we're actually very fortunate that by taking shelter, all those possibilities that are running through the minds of these people who don't have this knowledge are just so crazy.
Yeah, man.
So, because you talked about like shelter and how powerful it is. So I just thought to share that because even with some, when I would speak to some people and ask them, oh, how are you guys doing, even with friends, their biggest anxieties are, what's going to happen again and stuff like this. When for us, because we know that the conclusion of, you know, the constant cycle of birth and death, all those anxieties are completely destroyed. We don't start from that basis. So we're quite fortunate.
It's interesting, that how you preach to such people. We are kind of careless. I mean, you know, Krishna is there deep. He already stamped our heart, branded like an animal, branded. Boom, Krishna is there. You cannot take it off. But they don't have anything, so to find a way to preach to them, to really be like compassionate and empathic and on their level, this big heart. Like, how what you they expect material measure, material remedies. That's where they are on that level. So how you? It's not possible to take this. You know, I can give them advice psychologically maybe if I could, like, you know. As I said, don't feed your mind with the news, with the conspiracies, you just make gap bigger and bigger, you know. Or go take shelter of food and whatever it is, you know. Sex, drugs, rock and roll, you know. Like, what else, you know? What are you going to do, you know? What else?
Hi, Krishna Prabhu. This South American Indian, very wise, said American Indian, actually, one of the elders, and he said, if we do not, it was like a prediction or something a few years ago, and he said, if we do not learn how to take shelter, connect to the earth, we probably won't survive as humans. And I'm thinking, well, you know, what does that mean? But it resonated with me, taking shelter. Which is obviously
how he defines that.
Well, the thing is, so between us humans and the earth, there's a synergy which you cannot break. As long as you're in this physical body, you cannot break it. So this harmony between us, and at the moment, the world is moved away from that. The harmony is broken, and our lives becoming very artificial and superficial because of that. So one of the great problems we face in the world is that it's this disconnection between us and the earth. And for that, there are serious consequences and what you call it, reactions as well we're facing. And it's quite interesting now that with all this thing going on, there is some sort of a peace. Somehow, because why? We stop running around.
There is a side of
we stop doing this. Like, whoosh.
Yeah.
For a moment, we can just breathe. And maybe we come into some sort of a harmony with the earth again.
Yeah.
Just maybe, even for a brief moment.
Give me a break, Mother Earth. Give me a break.
So there's an upside to this. There's an upside.
Yeah.
It's a whoosh.
We do that. Please. But then you have to be reconnected with the earth, and would mean so many things. It's just a statement that means you to stop pollution, stop, you know, trade, stop, you know, and then, okay, you know, go the natural, rural life. It's nice statements, you know. Me as a practical person, it's good meditation, but you need to start at some point with something. Okay, that's the first step. I mean, Kali Yuga, you know, I just kind of, at some point, it's a Kali Yuga is going to be screwed up. Like, as worse is, you know, Krishna will come sooner or something, or whatever, you know, like, you know, Jesus will come sooner, Krishna says. But I just remember how Narada Muni was, you know, prodding the Kamsa, you know, to do vicious activities. You know, he would release Vasudeva Devaki, he would come back. Oh, don't release him. You know, you'll be killed. You know, Vasudeva took Krishna to the village there. Come on, do something. And then again, he was evil. So kind of, this agent of Kali, which kind of irritating the Kali to be more severe, like this out of blue, from a week or two, all face of earth changed. Like, I can't believe, like, kind of, that's the first few days. What's going on? So, can we really restore the planet? We can, but needs cataclysm, suffering, and patience for everybody, for devotees, of course. Take shelter of Krishna, do your best. Hare Krishna, sorry, everybody. Please meditate and make amazing plans that we can take over the world with this Krishna consciousness. Use all facilities at the manor. Haveli just finished. Must be filled up with vibrant seeking souls. Hare Krishna.